There's been mud on my soul. There's been anger inside me. There's still unforgiven deeds that now it's time to free. I've been trapped inside so long. Don't remember how to live. How much of life has passed me by as I slept inside my dreams. Oh yes, sip the waters too. Let them wash all over you.
The Bible mentions about the parable of 10 virgins. This is from Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Those who were foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "What if there isn't enough for us and you? You go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." While they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Most certainly, I tell you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you don't know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So this is the beautiful story about 10 virgins. The bridegroom was about to come at night, and 5 of those 10 virgins had lamps along with oil, but 5 of the other 5 just took the lamps and there were no oil. All the 10 virgins were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and when it was midnight, suddenly there was an announcement that bridegroom is coming, behold, he is there. The 5 virgins without oil in their vessels were sleeping, were slumbering, and they found that we don't have any oils, and they started asking oil to those other 5 virgins who had oils. But the other virgins said, "No, this is for ourselves, because our bridegroom is coming. Better you go out and purchase." The five virgins, they go out to get oil. And during that time, the bridegroom comes. And he takes the five brides with oil in their vessels. And when the other five brides come, the bridegroom has already gone. He is no more there. So Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the bridegroom and you are my brides. So keep your vessels ready with oil. I can come anytime. And if I am gone, then I will not come again." Jesus, the bridegroom, says, "Who you are? I don't know you." The other five brides without oil in their vessels. The bridegroom has already come. And he has come to take us away. But are we ready? He has come to take us away. Because this world has lost its glory. The world is no other place to live. It's full of sorrow, suffering. Bible mentions God as bridegroom. This worship of God as the beloved, this worship of God as groom, as bridegroom, as husband, as beloved, has been mentioned in various scriptures of the world, not just in Christianity. In Hinduism, there are six types of worship, and to worship God as one's beloved is known as Madhura Bhakti. One is Shanta Bhakti, where you know that he is the controller of the world and everything is going on smoothly. You maintain the position of equanimity. The world is the pair of opposites. World is filled of opposites. So you remain equanimous. You maintain your equipoise. The second is Dasya Bhakti, where God is the master and you are the servant. The third is Sakha Bhakti, where God is your friend. The fourth is Vatsalya Bhakti, where you think of God as your mother. The fifth is Anuraga Bhakti, where you are intimately connected with God, where you see everything as manifestation of God, and you take every event to serve Him. And the sixth type of bhakti, where you think of God as your beloved, where you think of God as your husband, where you think of God as the dearest. And Baba has used the word pew in some of the murlis. God is pew or Piya. He is the supreme beloved, Mashuk. We all are lovers of one beloved, of one Mashuk, of one Piyu. In fact, they say that to love God as the beloved is the ultimate love of God. To love God as mother, as father, as friend, as master, as the controller of the universe, as God, is one thing. But the culmination of love, the pinnacle of love, the highest point of love, the zenith of love, the consummation of the divine love, is to think of Him as one's beloved. And to develop that spiritual intimacy, that deep emotional relationship with Him, This is the highest form of love. Not all souls can reach this love. We can think of him as father, as mother, as controller, as preserver, and all other relationships. But relationship with God as one's beloved is the highest. The depth of love is profound here. It leads to ultimate union, the divine union with the beloved. So he is the bridegroom, and here comes the bridegroom. He has already come to take his brides, to forge this relationship with him. Is an entirely new experience. He is the only male then, and all other souls are females. He is the only beloved, all others are lovers. All are gopis and he is Gopi Vallabh. All are Sitas and he is Ram. All are Parvatis and he is Shiva. He is the husband of husbands. He is the beloved, he is the husband, he is the bridegroom. So God is known as Pyu, the beloved. And why to love him more than anyone? How this husband is better than all other husbands? He is Satyam, the truth, the ultimate truth, the final truth, the absolute truth, the only truth, the never-ending truth, the everlasting truth, the ultimate. There is no untruth in him. He is supreme truth. What he speaks is the only truth. And he speaks nothing but the truth. Every day we listen in Murlis. This is the land of falsehood, and God is the truth. He has come to establish the land of truth. So whatever he speaks, whatever he says, whatever he is, there is a ring of truth. So if you have to choose your bridegroom, you must choose the one who is the best. And who can be better than him? So Shiva is known as truth, the final truth, one without second. He is Shivam, Kalyankari, Shubh, auspicious. When he comes, he brings the omen of Jupiter, and the omen of Saturn are cast aside. He is Brihaspati. He is supreme auspiciousness. When he comes, the life changes. When he comes, everything changes for the new. Everything changes for the good. When he comes, you wake up from slumber and everything becomes beautiful. Everything becomes new. He is as if the rains from the heaven. The land is parched up. The land is dried. The famine is devastating. The world is famishing. And he comes as the heavenly rain, bringing the message of goodness, of virtue, of godliness. So there cannot be any better choice than him. He is Shivam. And what more thing a bride seeks in a groom? He should be handsome. He should be beautiful. He should be good looking, the smart guy. Shiva is the smartest guy in the whole world. He is the most handsome, the most beautiful. Sundaram. Who can be better than him. He is incorporeal, and that's why he's so beautiful. So this relationship with God, to think of him as your husband, as your groom, as your beloved, as Gopi Vallabh, you just swing in happiness. You become his gopi. And no other love can be compared to this love of gopis. They were lost in him. They forgot everything. That's why they say that Madhura Bhakti is the highest form of bhakti. Madhura, the love, is the highest form of love. Prema Bhakti, they call it. Rati, they call it. The ultimate. So do we love him? Do we love Baba as our beloved? To love him as a father is one thing, as mother is one thing. But this is the highest. Fathers can be many. Mothers can be many. Brothers can be many. Friends can be many. Gurus can be many. Teachers can be many. Guides can be many. Children can be many. You think of God as your child, okay, but you think of some other boy, some small girl as your child. But God is beloved, the ultimate, the groom, the husband of husband. He cannot be many, he is just one. He is the one Gopi Vallabh. He is the one Shiva, one Rama of all Sitas. So this is the highest, the deepest, the profound, the bottomless, the earth. No other love can be compared to this love. So start this new form of love and see what happens. The aim of the love is ultimate of merging, divine union, where there are no two, but two become one. The ultimate ecstasy. It is said that in the Bhakti scriptures that Krishna had a greatest devotee, Uddhava. He was very profound in his knowledge because Krishna himself taught him all the scriptures, Upanishads, and everything about Godhead. One day Uddhava asked, Lord, I know everything, but still yet I have not achieved the title of Maharishi. What should I do to become Maharishi? People don't still call me Maharishi. Krishna sensed that his devotee is developing an ego. He says, do one thing, you just go to Vrindavan for some time. I have not been there for a very long time. You just go and teach this knowledge of Brahman, this Brahma Vidya to those gopis. He gets delighted and he goes to Vrindavan. He crosses the river Yamuna and he reaches Vrindavan. All the gopis are so happy, they flock together. They flock around him and they sit with awe and wonder to listen to him because he has come from Mathura. So they ask him, oh, you have come from there, how is he? Our beloved. So he starts teaching them knowledge. He tells them that the one whom you are calling Krishna, don't consider him to be an ordinary being. He is God himself. Don't just think of him as an avatar, as an incarnation. He is the ultimate reality. And he starts teaching them scriptures. And they are all sitting around him, listening to him. And he gets so elated, thinking that they are understanding everything, what he is teaching them. And then he teaches and he asks them, what have you understood? One gopi says, what you taught is beautiful. I really loved you, whatever you expounded. But When you were telling about Krishna, I was thinking of him. He used to play with me here. He used to play with us on that side. And when he would play his flute, we would get lost. My every cell, my every pore is filled with him. I am always lost in his love. I can't think of anything else except him. Now you tell me, where should I keep your knowledge of scriptures? There is no place in me. My whole being is suffused and permeated and penetrated and interpenetrated with Krishna. Where should I keep him? Where should I keep your knowledge? I have no place in my heart for your knowledge. Another gopi says, what you are saying, I am not understanding. Because we do not know who is God and what is God and what is truth and what is untruth. We just know him. He is the only beloved. We are filled with him to the brim. Except his memory, except his remembrance, we have nothing with us. He is the only treasure. His memory is the only treasure. Long back he used to be here. Now he has left us. But still he is with us. The moment we close our eyes, we see him in front of our eyes. Mind's eyes. Dhudha's mind gets humbled. And ultimately he understands that somewhere I am wrong. Where I have come, this is not the place where I should teach. And he salutes all those gopis and he goes back. And he is a changed man now. The ego of knowledge has gone away. And the ego is replaced by love. He is thinking of the depth of love of those gopis. And he comes back to Krishna and he says, why did you send me there? When you know that, how they are related to you. Krishna says, that's why I sent you. What you knew is knowledge. But they are the very embodiment of the knowledge. And love is the embodiment of knowledge. Love is the highest form of knowledge. Love is the flowering of the knowledge. The ultimate bloom of knowledge. So they are in that stage of love. Because they have formed that highest relationship with me. I am not their master. I am not their mother. I am not their father. I am not even their friend. I am not their guru, their guide. I am not their teacher. But they think of me as the beloved. So God, Shiva Baba, is pure, the beloved, the husband of husbands, the bridegroom. Think of him in that manner. Sri Ramakrishna used to say that a marriage ceremony is going on and the bride is sitting or hiding somewhere behind the curtain. And the bride has got her friends with her. So those friends, they ask her, is that your husband? Look at that one person. She says, no, he is not my husband. Then the other friend says, is that the other person is your husband? She says, no, he is not my groom. Third, fourth. And then her groom, one of her friends says, is that your groom? She doesn't say anything. She just blushes. So when the bridegroom comes, there are no words. When the bridegroom comes, the speech, the conversation is dropped and the silence comes. To love God as the beloved is to enter into that depth of silence. Is to move into that ocean of silence, that solitude. It has got no demands. Love is not a beggar. It doesn't want anything in return. It doesn't want even love in return. It just is unilateral. It just wants to love. It just wants to give. Love is ultimate surrender. And such surrender is possible only with this relationship. just as wife totally surrenders to her husband, so also soul totally surrenders to that bridegroom, the ultimate. And there is no better groom than him, who is the ultimate truth, who is the ultimate auspiciousness, who is the most beautiful. What can be more beautiful than that point of light? There is no blemish, there is no stain, there is no dark spot. He is the ultimate beauty, the beauty of beauty, the highest beauty, the ocean of beauty. When you look at him, when you see him, fill yourself with his beauty. Sing his glory within you. This is also a form of remembrance. You know, there are different stages of yoga. Ashrari, bodiless stage, avyakta stage, angelic stage, seed stage, volcanic stage. In all these stages, you have to think of yourself as different and then you remember God. But there is one method, one stage where you don't have to remember God, where you don't have to remember Shiva Baba. What is that stage? Combined. You stay with him combined, coupled. He is with you, within you. Now what you will remember? You don't have to remember him at all. The effort of remembrance is dropped. You stay, you are combined with him. Here you are single, then you become double. And there is one more stage, triple. What is that? Triple light. One is single light, second is double light, and third is triple light. What is that stage, triple light? See, in that history hall, they have two. Baba used to sit at one place and Mama used to sit at another. And whosoever, any child who used to come, he used to sit in between and then they would say, now tell your anubhav, experience. In the similar manner, when Baba and Mama left, Didi and Dadi used to sit on those sandals. And anybody would come, they would make him sit in between and tell, now tell your experience. This way, we can create a new form of yoga, Bap Dada. God is here. Shiva is here and Brahma is here. They both are the highest authority. And you are here. So one light, second light and third light. So this is known as triple light yoga. So you imagine here only that Shiva Baba is there, Brahma is there and you are there. So this triangle, the divine triangle, you sit and this is a form of yoga. Where you become triple powerful. Your own power, the power of Shiva Baba, the power of Brahma. Brahma is also no less. He is equally powerful because he has become one with God. So this oneness, this togetherness, this combined form, this union, this merging, this spiritual intimacy, this yoga, real yoga, that you think of him as your beloved and you merge in him. You get lost in him. You become one with him. There is no more a drop. The drop has become ocean. One is to say that the drop has become ocean. Another is to say that the ocean has become drop. The ocean has got merged in drop now. Now I am no more a drop, but I carry the ocean within me. I have become the ocean. I have become one with him. So, love of God as beloved, as pure. You become ocean. At one point of time, somewhere, Swami Vivekananda said, Christ, Buddha and Krishna are but the waves of infinite ocean that I am. I am that ocean. Where Christ, Buddha and Krishna are just waves. I am the final, ultimate. So, here also you love him as pure. As your beloved, as your peer, as your bridegroom. Om Shanti.